big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic travel to Germany without Lee Griffiths, Tom Rogic and Scott Brown, who also looks set to miss Sunday's Cup semi-final. Steven Gerrard's getting used to facing new managers in Europe. He doesn't think Spartak's change will make much difference. And Hearts stay top with Dundee bottom after a 3-0 win at Dens. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi.
And Hearts keep going on at the top of the table, Gordon. Another good result for them last night at Dundee. Rangers trying to get a victory against Spartak Moscow. 3 points for them would just leave them one result away from qualification for the last 32. And Celtic, an injury crisis ahead of Thursday night and indeed ahead of Sunday's game against Hearts at Murrayfield.
And Jim Duffy, since last Wednesday you've gone from being Jim Duffy to new Dumbarton manager. Jim Duffy, congratulations from us. How does it feel? What type of challenge lies ahead?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. As a challenge, there's no doubt about that. If you inherit a team that's towards the bottom of the league, in level points at the bottom, then you know there's a big challenge ahead of you. But you don't get too many easy jobs these days. So I've always relished a challenge. I'm looking forward to it. You know, there's some good players there, but we have to get the confidence back into the team, and that's the same for any manager. If you can instill confidence in the easiest way that comes is winning games, but that's the most difficult part of trying to achieve it.
And I want you to explain something. When I woke up this morning, still a bit tired, the old eyes bloody, looked at social media to see you labelled as Duffy the Vampire Slayer on a really scary looking Halloween poster for an upcoming fixture. Is that done with your blessing?
Well, the sad thing is, one, I didn't know anything about it, and two, they didn't have to put any makeup on me to make it scary. So that's the kind of worrying thing, really. It was just actually a natural photo. I didn't know about it, Gordon. Actually, you showed me it. Thankfully, I'm not on social media, so I managed to miss most of these things. But listen, you know, a lot of play on Duffy the Vampire, so it's fine.
Duffy the Vampire Slayer.
I've been called a lot worse, believe me.
I'm not sure if it's going to catch on the show. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. On Twitter, we're at Clyde SSB. So lots to get through tonight. Some serious personnel issues for Celtic. Lee Griffiths, Tom Rogic and Scott Brown didn't travel to Germany. Filip Benkovic is a doubt, and James Forrest is obviously suspended. We're going to hear from Steven Gerrard about Rangers game in Europe tomorrow. Lots to get through in the second hour as well. And just a bit of something different to keep us ticking along in the background. Did you see Calvin Miller's penalty at Dens last night? Josh Windass blazed one over as well. It just got me thinking, what is the worst penalty you've ever seen? We like to do this, a bit of a trip down memory lane sometimes. Anything that springs to mind, Jim Duffy?
Yeah, there's a couple. The boy Zaza, who I think had a little
Italy, wasn't it?
A little short step ups, and I don't know what he was doing. It was almost a bit like Johnny Wilkinson, kind of clasping his hands and then going up. But unfortunately, unlike Johnny Wilkinson, not even did he put over the bar. I think he just dinked it, and it was just one of those ones where you think, "No, why are you doing that in such an important match?" Obviously, many, many years ago, a lot of fans might remember the old Dixie Deans one that went over the bar. And I think it was a European tie. And I have to say, I have won myself. I was, I think it was at Dundee playing against Celtic at Celtic Park, and I ballooned one over the bar. So yeah, I'm guilty of a really bad penalty as well.
Mark Guidi, any that spring to mind?
No, did Jason Cummins do a cheeky one and it came off or not?
It didn't come off. We tried the Panenka
semi-final
over the
Scottish Cup semi-final
over the bar.
Yeah.
That's a decent shout, to be fair, because there's always that when you try something different, something clever.
What was the game? Did they try two of them? And I can't remember. But yeah, so he made a hash. I won. Not apart from it, was it USA 94 World Cup? Was it Baggio?
Was
it
Baggio?
Baggio.
Baggio.
Baggio. Roberto Baggio.
Yep, as well. So yeah, those are ones that spring to mind, and like the one that people have tried to copy many times. It did come off. It's the Panenka, isn't it?
Classic
Panenka. Yeah. When it comes off, it looks great. But if the goalkeeper just stands there, picks it up, it just looks ridiculous. And I remember one, I can't remember who took it, but Mick McCarthy was a manager. I think he might have been in Blackburn. And I remember the guy trying it, and I think it may have been a penalty shootout, and the camera went on to Mick McCarthy
raging.
And Big Mick was going mental. And anybody knows Big Mick McCarthy, you think, do know wanting to be that player in that dressing room.
Anyway, that's just a bit of fun to tick along in the background after seeing Calvin Miller and Josh Windass last night. I was just wondering, what is the worst penalty miss you have ever seen? At Clyde SSB on Twitter. Right, first order of business, Mark Guidi, I think, has to be breaking news coming out of Germany. Celtic flew out today. They trained at Celtic Park first. They've flown out without Scott Brown. It looks like it's 3 weeks, so we can deal with Europe, but there's also the big game at the weekend as well. Lee Griffiths, perhaps not unsurprising, but Tom Rogic, I don't think many people called that. He didn't travel either. And Filip Benkovic is a doubt and will be assessed tomorrow.
Well, I would imagine that any doubt, such as Benkovic or whoever, I don't think Brendan Rodgers will risk tomorrow night, because I'm quite open about it. I think Sunday's more important for Celtic. There's also the chance that it is only game three tomorrow, albeit Celtic not in a great position. I don't fancy them to win tomorrow night. I think they'll lose the game anyway, but there's still a chance to recover. You know, they'll have a home game the next time round against Leipzig. So no, I don't think they'll risk anybody, because Hearts going to this game on a major high, 6 points ahead at the top of the table, doing really well, coping without Suter and Nick Piezu and Christophe Behrens. They've got their own injury problems. So Sunday's going to be a tough test for Celtic. Can't risk anybody tomorrow night.
Right, Celtic fans, let's hear from you then. You've got about 24 hours to come up with a solution to all of this. So pick the team for us tomorrow, because James Forrest is suspended, Griffiths, Rogic and Brown haven't travelled, and Benkovic is a doubt. So how's Brendan Rodgers going to negotiate this? Let us know. 0141 951 1025. Jim, I mean, any team in world football, if you're without a few of your main men, it's going to be tough. What do you make of this?
Yeah, very difficult. You know, I mean, key players for Celtic, there's no doubt about it. Just interesting, I've seen an interview today, obviously, with Marvin Komper, you know, and you think, well, he's a guy that, depending on which comments you believe, one he's saying he's not very happy, another one's saying he's happy to be there. But, you know, again, when you see the likes of Benkovic being injured, you'd often think, well, did he travel? I don't know if he's travelled.
I don't think he's registered, Jim.
I know he wasn't in the initial squad, but I just thought maybe with injuries, I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah, I don't think they've included him in this squad, certainly. But, I mean, Jim, the Scott Brown one, I've noticed in the last couple of weeks some Celtic fans saying, well, do you know what, without Scott Brown we've actually been playing some decent attacking football and so on. But I don't think there's any doubt, when you go into a game of this size, this type of challenge as well, away from home, I mean, Brendan Rodgers, it would be the first name in his team sheet, wouldn't he?
Absolutely. You know, he's so important. I said before, not just in the fact that, you know, how he controls a game, how he, you know, he dictates a game, but his influence on the rest of the players. You know, there's no doubt he's you know, he's a leader, and everybody knows that. So, you know, he pulls and pushes his teammates, he demands of his teammates. So, you know, there's absolutely no doubt that he's very influential as a player, and in terms of responsibility he demands from his own players. But yeah, I think Celtic play a slightly different role when he doesn't play. I think they are a little bit more open. I think the game against Hibs on Saturday sort of typified that, and obviously they've scored 10 goals in two games. Really, you know, in St. Johnson against Hibernian, but they've also looked a little bit open at times, and away from home in Europe, they don't have a natural defensive midfield player you think could obviously slot in. I know Malumbu came in the last time.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's been talk about Kouassi, how could he do the job? But they don't have a natural replacement in that role. I think domestically at home, I don't think it's as big an issue, but I certainly think away from home in Europe, I think it's a major difficulty for Celtic to overcome.
And then Mark Guidi on Tom Rogic, he's probably just coming off the back of his two best games for Celtic this season. If you look at his goal at the weekend, his creativity in the St Johnstone game as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's an outstanding footballer, and, you know, tactically, I remember speaking to a couple of coaches about him, and they say just the wee spaces that he picks up, it's not just all about his goals, it's just he's such a clever footballer, which to the naked eye of guys like myself and many others, that you won't pick up on that, but the real football people doing, that's why he's so rated and why he's such a big player for Celtic. So again, I think if you get the choice, as long as he's okay for Sunday, Gordon, you know, don't take any risks tomorrow night. Make sure he's fit for Sunday. And because, you know, you think about it as well, Boyata's not available for Sunday.
He's suspended.
Ayer's injured. So, you know, again, Benkovic priority will be Sunday to make sure he's ready for that.
01419511025 or on Twitter at ClydeSSB. How do you react to this injury news for Celtic? How would you solve the problem if you were Brendan Rodgers? And don't forget, we're looking for your worst ever penalty misses as well, just to keep us ticking along. Gary's in Kilsyth first up. What did you make of that breaking injury news there, Gary?
Yeah, a bit disappointed obviously, because quite like Tom Rogic and brings all the team, he's been in decent form lately. So to be honest, I thought we maybe didn't really have a chance tomorrow night anyway. I think one more Sunday's the more important game, but so my point is really, to be honest, I'd quite like to see Ryan Christie given a wee chance, because I mean, he came on at the weekend and he's been impressive when he's been given the chance, but he's not really had a proper run in the team. So with the injuries, I just thought maybe himself or Lewis Morgan. Yeah. Bring him in for a wee change of the team.
What do you make of that suggestion then? Let's start looking at potential solutions. If you take Brown and Rogic out of that midfield, and Forrest, of course.
Yeah, there's a hole there. There's also potential for pulling Callum McGregor in beside Olivier and Sham, which again creates another gap in that front three that Ryan Christie could slot into. So yeah, look, certainly Brendan Rodgers likes him because he could have sent him out on loan again there at the end of August. There was many teams in for him. I think Aberdeen may well have been tempted to try and buy him outright, but for Celtic they just they weren't interested in doing business. So it shows you how highly he's rated, and it'd be nice to see him get a turn. Yeah,
I mean, I think Ryan Christie will play. I think he is a talented player. It's difficult because the embarrassment of riches at Celtic have at times, you know, in that area of the pitch. But with the injury problems I've got, and Gary's right, I think he may well look at him and playing in that kind of Rogic role where he can drop into midfield and give Celtic that kind of three, as you say, alongside Cham and McGregor. He can drop in, make it a compact three with the two other wide guys, whatever he decides, we probably Edward up front. So I think Ryan Christie is a good option for Celtic just now, and it does give him the opportunity to try and establish himself a little bit. And sometimes these are the opportunities you get through the misfortune of someone else. You know, you get your chance, and if Ryan Christie does get the nod, then he's got to try and take it. The only thing is, I'm a wee bit, you know, different in opinion from Mark, because you know, the semi-final being the most important. I just don't see that for Celtic. I think Celtic have been so keen to, you know, get into Europe. You know, everything was geared to first and foremost the Champions League, and then we heard Brendan Rodgers saying, okay, maybe we're not quite that level yet, we're Europa League. And I just don't see the point of just being in the group for the sake of it. You know, I know Mark's saying they've got a couple of games to go and they could still qualify, but I just think if you're going to be in there for Celtic to try and establish himself as a major force back in football again, they have to be looking to be doing better in Europe. I think that's where you know, you get judged as a player and as a manager. So I think this is a big game for Celtic, and I think it's really important that they do focus on it. And if that means that you have to take your eye off the ball a little bit on Sunday, then so be it. But I just don't think Celtic can just pretty much put this one to the bed and say, oh, well, you know, it's going to be tough anyway.
On you go, Gary.
I do agree with what you're saying there. I think tomorrow night is still an important game, because recently we've not really been doing well. The last obviously game in Salzburg, we were pretty poor in the second half. So although we are Sunday, is I'd say they're both just as important as each other, but maintaining obviously the chance to go for another treble is really important for the club. But also we don't want to make ourselves look like another laughing stock away from home in Europe as well. So I think we should still be focused on trying to get a result in Germany, although it's going to be tough without a full squad there.
My point on that was, don't risk Benkovic, because bearing in mind you've no Bayata for Sunday. So what I'm saying is, yeah, if you'd normal all your centre halves available and Ayab was fit, then fine, you could maybe take a wee risk. But I don't think Brendan Rodgers would risk potentially the best centre half he has available if it means it's also going to leave him susceptible to missing out on Sunday as well. So I'm not saying the game's not important. Of course it is. However, I don't think you take risks like that. If it was just a league game at the weekend, then fine, I could maybe see it. But the fact that it's a cup semi-final and they're playing against, if you want to call them, the form team in the country, the team at the top of the league at Murrayfield, I don't think you risk any players ahead of that.
Thank you to Gary from Kilsyth. John's in Coatbridge. John, the obvious one would be to say that Scott Brown is the biggest miss. Do you go along with that, or is it perhaps Tom Rogic, given the form he's been in?
Well, I would go Tom Rogic. Remember, a couple of times I've said, although I maybe contradict myself here a bit, right? I think sometimes we actually play more flowing football when Scott's not playing. Sometimes I think maybe Sunday in that big park as well. You know what I mean? Could shoot. When Lee McGregor was brilliant against Hibs, he played about three or four different positions. Sometimes, you know what I mean? Is it me and Schubert had a wee discussion a couple of weeks ago? I mean, you don't want Scott Brown not playing, but in a way, sometimes I think we actually push the ball forward quicker. You know what I mean? But as I say, I think Rogic is on fire now, and as Mark said, he is the top kiddie in the midfield in Scotland. You know what I mean? I think we'll really miss him, but I hope he's fit for Sunday. You know what I mean? But I would definitely rest him tomorrow. No, going with the penalty. Maybe Mark and Jim will remember this. I was a wee kid at the time, and would you call it? It was Pat Nevin against. I think he played with Chelsea, and he tried to be a smarty, and he went to kick the ball, and the ball sort of rolled. Right, and the keeper didn't even move. It took about 10 minutes to get the ball went to the keeper. I don't know if you can remember that, guys.
Well, Mark Weedy's got a confused look in his face. Who was it against, John? You can't remember.
Stamford Bridge, was it?
Was it old Stamford Bridge? It was just when he moved to Chelsea, Mark. Or maybe it was when he went to Everton. It was one of the two. So I can't even remember. It was the worst penalty I've ever seen.
You've narrowed it down really well for us, John. He only spent about 8 years at Everton and Chelsea.
Actually, just as you mentioned that, we talked about penalties. I remember Thierry Henry.
I was just going to say that.
When obviously you can roll the ball off his horse.
And he pass it almost.
But the two of them get completely mixed up, and it was just a shambles of a penalty.
Is that for Arsenal?
For Arsenal, yeah. And Thierry Henry and Robert Pires, I'm sure it was, the two of them, they had a wee chat.
They were so good at that time. Yeah. They were obviously just bored of conventional penalties. Let's come up with something else.
But listen, you know, John saying about Callum McGregor, and I understand that, but also against Hibs at the weekend, Hibs created an awful lot of chances. As I say, Craig Gordon's got a couple of magnificent saves. They've got chances. You know, they scored a couple of great goals. And I think, you get both sides from Callum McGregor on the ball, brilliant. He links up the play as he's right, I think, forward thinking, creating chance. But when they lost possession a few times, Celtic were very exposed, and that's Scott Brown's job.
On Twitter at Clyde SSB, Gary Henderson says, tomorrow's a free hit, any results a bonus, maintaining a treble challenge is paramount. Give Morgan Christie, etc., a taste of European football and have a go, but it's all about hearts. On Sunday, I have been asking for your worst ever penalty misses in light of a couple last night. Josh Windass down the road, I don't know if you saw it. Calvin Miller for Dundee as well. Edwin Kelly says, World Cup 94, Diana Ross at the opening ceremony. Remember that? I was actually looking for competitive ones, but there we go. Keep them coming in at Clyde SSB. The pen is on. He's got Baggio's as well. And Diana Ross is getting a lot of mentions, I must say. And not quite what I was expecting. 01419511025. Keep that coming, and we'll hear from Stephen Gerrard after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Get the result you deserve. Talk to Thompsons.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Give us a call, let us know what's on your mind, or you can tweet us at Clyde SSB. We've been talking Celtic's injuries for tomorrow. We're going to look ahead to Rangers Europa League clash as well. And I've been asking for your memories. I'm looking for your worst ever penalty misses. This is in light of Calvin Miller and Josh Windass last night, just a couple you may have seen over the course of today. There's quite a few Rangers fans, funnily enough, getting in touch to say Tom Rogic is in the semi-final at Hampden a couple of years ago. Yeah. Not much sympathy I'm not detecting there. Alan Lappin though says Charlie Nicholas against Neuchâtel Xamax. Do you remember that one, Mark Guidi?
Yes, Roy Hodgson was a manager, Liam Brady, Roy Hodgson of Xamax, Liam Brady, Celtic, was it 5-0 or 5-1 over in Switzerland, Duff? Was that not the one that famously Liam Brady says before the game, we'll be fine, we'll take two or three off this lot?
There we are. Good pre-match prediction. That would rival Hugh Keevan's pre-match predictions on this show, to be fair.
Aka Hugh.
Yeah, he's very confident at the moment, I must say. A few of you are getting in touch with how Celtic can solve their injury and suspension crisis, if you like, tomorrow. Tony's even produced one of these apps, Mark Guidi, with the team all lined up in formation. Magnificent stuff. He's got the likes of Christie and Morgan in the starting 11, and potentially even Gamboa if he has to move Lustigen. So keep your thoughts coming, your solutions to the problem Celtic have. Griffiths, Rogic and Brown haven't travelled. Benkovic is a doubt. We are at Brendan Rodgers' press conference in Germany, and we'll let you hear from him as soon as we can. 01419511025 on the phones. Let's look ahead to Rangers game tomorrow as well. So Rangers fans, step up. Steven Gerrard says he doesn't think Spartak Moscow sacking their manager will have any bearing on the game. He also thinks they need to use the win against Rapid Vienna as inspiration as they try and take 3 points tomorrow.
It's the same in terms of a change of manager, but it's slightly different because they've promoted within. So the manager that will be in charge tomorrow was in the setup anyway, whereas the Rapid one came from outside. So it's slightly different, but yeah, it's the same. But it doesn't really affect our preparation or our game plan. You know, we're going into the game with confidence and belief, but with respect that we're playing against a big team with Champions League experience. So I think it's got all the makings of being a really exciting game. It's difficult to predict how the game's going to go. I can sit here and tell you how I'd like it to go, and that's for us to really take the game to the opposition. We need to ignite this crowd again like we did in the previous game, because we believe that, you know, if we play on the front foot and we're aggressive and the fans come with us, we believe we're a tough team to play against here. I think Spartak come with all due respect, I think they come with more experience than Rapid. They play in hostile arenas over in Russia. If we can emulate the Rapid performance and we can emulate the atmosphere from a fan's point of view, I'm really looking forward to seeing the outcome of this game.
And not often you're going to go through a small group stage section and face two teams who've just been their manager before you do. I mean, Jim, is that does that make a difference? I mean, you've obviously been in dugouts when that'll have happened.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it does make a little bit of difference, of course, because, you know, you're never quite sure. You know, I know Stephen Gerrard saying that they've promoted from within, but, you know, it might just change it slightly. You know, it might change the dynamics of the team, the shape of the team. You know, the slight personnel change, even set pieces, they might just change a little bit. So there are things that if you've looked at done your homework on the team and they do certain things, you know, then you've got to be on your toes. You've got to be alert, because it might just be one or two wee things that you, obviously it's impossible to be aware of. And also, depending on, you know, the atmosphere of the club, does it to kind of give them a freshness and maybe take the pressure off them a little bit. So it might make a difference, but Steven Gerrard has said if they can get the right atmosphere, if they can come out the blocks like they've done, if they can have that type of performance that they had in the last match when Rangers were magnificent, and generate that atmosphere, then you know, you put the onus on your own team to try and create that atmosphere, and then it doesn't matter who's coming to Ibrox, then they're going to feel under pressure.
Rangers fans, let's hear from you then. What are your thoughts going into tomorrow's game at Ibrox? 0141 951 1025. We are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Scott Arfield is going to miss that game through injury. Ryan Jack, though, nearing a return to the team. So let us know how you feel going into that game. Mark, as Stephen Gerrard mentioned, you don't have to look far for a blueprint for success, if you like. In the last round of fixtures, Rangers won at Ibrox against Rapid Vienna, so it's a case of same again.
It is, and you know, it just goes to show you the performance that night, how good it was, but just how inspirational the Rangers supporters are at the moment. Because you look at Rangers' record at Ibrox, and it's first class this season, because pretty much every game is at least 45,000 Rangers supporters there. The players are responding to it. You know, we often hear of players, you know, one of the things is you can't cope with the expectation level of playing in front of 45,000-50,000 fans, but clearly the Rangers team have that. What's different is they're not, and I know they won on Sunday at Hamilton Accies, but not a great performance at all. A couple of penalties in the last 10 minutes. So at Ibrox tomorrow night, I fancy them. If it was away from home, I wouldn't, but you know, the Rangers supporters are really playing their part, and they should be very proud, and the players as well are doing their bit in front of their own supporters.
It feels like because of some of the success this season, Jim, there's been a shift. The mood that we got on the phone sort of in the summer and as the season was starting was that anything Rangers could do in Europe would be a bonus. Mm-hmm. If we can get to the group stages, great. And you know, the further we get, the better. Now, given the impressive qualification run, the impressive result against Villarreal, then Rapid Vienna, there's now almost an expectation that they can win these games.
Well, that's what happens in football. You know, the better you do, the quicker the expectations rise, and that's natural. And I think that from Rangers' point of view, I think they'll be delighted with that. Surely, it's, you know, they want their fans to believe that they're good enough to go and get out the group sections. And as Matt said, if they can get a result tomorrow night, you know, they're in a magnificent position to try and achieve that. But ultimately, over the course of the season, you know, they still have to, you know, put in a challenge for the title. That's what the Rangers fans will want. As I said, the European adventure is exactly that. It's an adventure, and anything from that would be terrific. But I think, slightly flipped from Celtic side. You know, the Rangers fans, you know, really now be expecting Rangers to get put up a head of steam and, you know, be challenged at the top end of the table at this moment in time. Hearts 6 points ahead, as Mark said. And, you know, again, with the injuries they've had, they've done outstandingly well to keep that gap at the moment.
Rangers fans, let's hear from you. Is there an expectation for Rangers to win that game tomorrow? 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you.
I was wondering what the Rangers fans would prefer, Gordon. A victory tomorrow night or a victory on Sunday?
Oh, you're going to make them choose.
For me, all day long, a victory on Sunday. All day long.
Okay. Stephen Gerrard was also talking about Greg Docherty today. He says he's been shining on loan at Shrewsbury. He says he's ready to appoint a loan manager to take care of the players he has out at other clubs. Docherty did score against Barnsley last night, his fourth in eight games, but the Rangers boss says it's a bit too early to say whether he'll be recalled in January.
We haven't had the conversation in terms of our loan players, but that will be happening in the coming weeks in terms of, you know, getting reports together on how they've done. We're aware that Greg's shining where he is. We sent someone, Andy Scholden, went to watch him yesterday. And we're also in the process of having a loan manager within the setup as well, who basically follows our loan players all the time and is in touch with them on a daily basis. So we know what they're eating, we know when they're sleeping, we know what they're doing on and off the field. We make sure that we collaborate every single match report on our loan players, because they're ours and they belong to us. And even though we're lending them out for experience, we need everyone to know that they're Rangers players and they need to do what we believe is right as a professional. So that's happening as we speak. It'll be someone promoted within.
Jamie's a Rangers fan from Hamilton. Hi, Jamie.
Hi there, guys. First and caller here.
Hi, Jamie. What made you call tonight?
No, I was just talking about the upcoming European game. And I think that losing Scott Arfield through injury, I think he's played a vital part in the past two games. I think he's played a vital part in all season, to be honest with you. But hopefully, my fellow Rangers fans will agree that I think we could probably do the job tomorrow and hopefully commit me a win.
How big a loss will Arfield be?
Yeah, Arfield was a terrific signing, great experience at the top level in England. And he's come up and, you know, there was a wee bit kind of mixed reaction for some of his performances. But I think that, like any player, just took a little bit of time to fit into the way Steven Gerrard wants to play. And, you know, I think he's been influential, particularly in those European games. Mm-hmm. I think away to Villarreal and obviously the last game against Rapid, I think he's been terrific. So I think he will be a miss. But, you know, that's what the big teams have to cope with. That. They have to cope with key players missing, adapt to that. And, you know, I'm sure Steven Gerrard's already, you know, been working towards, you know, the match tomorrow night without him.
Yeah, I mean, if it is going to be as we expect, you know, Scott Arfield struggling, Mark, I mean, I know they are slightly different, but is that all starting to balance out if you've got Ryan Jack coming back?
Yeah, and that's why you need a big squad, particularly, you know, as we all know, when you're playing in Europe, you know, when you've got Thursday, Sunday, it adds an extra six games to your schedule in the space of 3 months. As much as it's welcome financially and for the experience level, and also, you know, for potentially increasing the market value of your players, it can take its toll. So Ryan Jack coming back would be welcome. And it was also nice to hear just in the clip there about Greg Docherty as well. And what a great move by Rangers. All the big clubs do it. You know, they have like a loan manager keeping an eye on things, just to make sure that the boys that are out on loan are not forgotten and they're still made to feel a part of it. And Greg Docherty, terrific young midfielder. I'm delighted that he's doing well at Shrewsbury.
I think that there's the one player that, you know, again was good to see there, you know, at the weekend there was obviously Jordan Rossiter coming back in. Yep. And a lot of people thought, oh, wait a minute, a bit of a risk playing him on the artificial surface and all that. But, you know, again, he's a player that everyone believes has got terrific potential. He's just been absolutely, you know, devastated with the amount of injuries he's had. But he's a player that's come back into the fold again. And, you know, although he's a young player, you know, he's got that composure. He's defensively sound. So I think he's another one. It might be in the mind of the manager. But I think you've got Koulibaly, you've got Ajera, you know, they've got some good options in there, McCrory. So, you know, Rangers have got enough cover in there. Andy Halliday's another one.
Jamie, is that, we talked about that sort of growing expectation of Rangers in Europe, but they now seem to have got to a level where fans like yourself almost, I think expect maybe is a bit strong, but confident of victory tomorrow. Is that the way you see it?
I think more confident is what I think that. Okay, Scott Arfield's out. You've spoken about the players that are kind of coming back from injury and stuff. I think, all in all, because we've got such a great, I think right now, in my opinion, we've got a great squad. A lot of boys can come in and they can up their game. And I think that it's a confidence thing. I think we should spend there, all confidence, come out all guns blazing, and hopefully pull a result in front of the Ibrox crowd. That's all I want to see, basically.
Jamie, I think Rangers, you used the word the great. I think it's a good squad, but I think, you know, in order to kick on, and particularly for Rangers getting into that last 32, but, you know, to make a challenge domestically and for Rangers to go and try and win a cup and to really push Celtic all the way, and let's not rule Hearts and Hibs and other clubs out of it, I think there's still two or three real quality players away, and I think that's something that Steven Gerrard will try and address in January, because you look through the squad, there's some really good players, a couple of top players there, but there's also a couple of really inexperienced players there that haven't been through the course of playing 40, 50 first team games. So I think that's something that, bearing in mind that the finances that will be coming in from Europe, then it's something that Steven Gerrard would like to address, because I think it's a good squad, but it's not a great squad, and it's not a title winning squad yet.
Thank you to Jamie in Hamilton. I told you our listeners know everything. We've had a few people, Hugh Moan being one of them, talking about Pat Nevin's penalty miss mark as well. Nicholas saying that it was against Sheffield Wednesday in the cup for Chelsea. Because I know you two were going to struggle to sleep tonight until you found that out. So Andy says McStay against Wraith in the Coca-Cola League Cup final. Ben is out with Scotland. John Terry in the 2008 Champions League. Remember the slip, the tears, the rain, the rest of it. Yeah, we're talking about your worst penalty misses, by the way, in case you're wondering where that came from. We will be hearing as soon as we can from Brendan Rodgers, who had his press conference in Germany. But keep the calls coming. 0141 951 1025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
It's Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've been talking about Celtic's injury list. We've been looking ahead to Rangers game tomorrow as well. And we've been asking you for your worst ever penalty misses. Lots coming in on Twitter. Lewis McInnes is another one mentioning Roberto Baggio, 94. He says ruined his career after that. And Kevin Gold, why did you have to remind us, Kevin? He says Gary McAllister's against England in Euro 96. I mean, I've seen worse. I've seen worse penalty misses, but
yes, David Seaman.
Tough to get over that one, wasn't it? Jeez, honestly. Right, at Clyde SSB on Twitter, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Alec is next up. Alec, your thoughts then on these injuries for Celtic tomorrow?
Well, as I've said, in the last few weeks, my main concern has been domestic. Now, I know I've got the three-game package for Parkhead for Europa League, but I want, obviously, to Celtic to go away tomorrow. Whatever happens, happens. And then Friday, get tuned right into Sunday's game. Because under Brendan Rodgers, more often than not, all the big games domestically have turned up. So, it's not been all that great in Europe. But to keep this unbelievable run going, you know, I want, obviously, the players, whoever's fit, nae chances the more. So, you know, if it's Christie, Morgan getting put out the more, so be it. But Sunday's a big game for me.
How do we get to this point, Alec? Because I'm not saying you've given up on the Europa League, but you can see why some people would sort of interpret it as that. I mean, last season, a lot of you and your fellow Celtic fans were angry at not being able to compete in the Champions League group stages. So how all of a sudden are you willing to disregard the Europa League group stages? We're only two games in.
I've not gave up, Gordon, because like I say, I enjoy going along. I enjoyed the Rosenborg game, and I'm going to enjoy going to the other two games. But Celtic's season in a whole, the summer that we had, the Dembele gone, the injuries that we've had, I think that, you know, if Celtic can win, and I'm going to say it, the treble again now, if you were to say that maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, people would have laughed and doubted it again. But the way that Celtic's picked themselves up, and you can see it in them now, you can see it in their play. So that's Europe again. It's a complete and utter bonus. But the League Cup, the Scottish Cup, and the Premier League, That's what I'm at now.
Jim, it was Alec. Yeah. Alec there mentioned Dembele, and I wonder if this is perhaps you know, Celtic have obviously got a good enough squad to do what they did against Hibs at the weekend and to be ever so impressive against St Johnstone and so on. Are we now seeing what Brendan Rodgers meant during that window when he talked about the quality in the depth? Because, for instance, say the same injuries had happened last season, you might have been able to call on Stuart Armstrong, you might have been able to call on Patrick Roberts and Dembele, so on. Is that where Brendan Rodgers was coming from?
I just think you've got to move on in football. I think there's no point referring back to what you don't have. You know, it's what you do have is important, and Celtic have still got some top class players there. You know, they hadn't been up until the last couple of weeks playing at the level they're capable of. But I must admit, I'm a little bit different opinion from Alex. I think over the last couple of years, because Celtic have pretty much coasted the league, European football was something I think became much more relevant, much more important, you know, for Celtic to establish himself and their reputation. This year, because there's an actual competition on for the title, I think they're thinking, oh, wait a minute, we'll make sure we concentrate domestically. But, I've got a lot of games, and, you know, when you go to Celtic Park on a European night, there's something special there, there's no doubt about it. So I'm kind of a little bit surprised. It's almost like saying, no, we'd rather go, you know, go and get the game against Hearts one rather than perhaps go there tomorrow night. I think if Celtic went there tomorrow night, get a great result, get into the knockout stages of Europa League, I think that's a bigger achievement than winning the League Cup. That's me personally. If Celtic still won, say, the double, if you wanted to call it that, if they won the Scottish Cup and the Championship and got to maybe the quarter finals of a European competition, I think that would be a magnificent season. Listen, it's all about opinion. Celtic fan totally entitled to it, as Alec is. But for me, I just think that Brendan Rodgers has been talking about an education for his players learning in Europe, for developing. And I think ultimately that's where, Celtic want to be. They want to be competing at the knockout stages of a European competition.
Well, let's squeeze in Richard and Paisley before we get to the news. Richard, what's your thoughts on tomorrow's Rangers game then?
Hello, yes. I'm really excited. I've been a Rangers supporter all my life. I just think that from what Rangers have gone through for the last so many seasons, bad and negative, it's amazing that we're now in this position where we're playing all these foreign teams. I think it's brilliant. I'm looking forward to it. I understand the fact that you've got to win or be second in the Premier League to get into Europe. But I'm just a wee bit sad that we've got teams that have done nothing apart from Celtic to get into this European thing. And as I say, my point of view is I'm really pleased about the manager and all his team and all the rest of it. We've gone through a whole lot of hard stuff, and I'm just going to say I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to Sunday. I'm just saying it's great, fantastic. We need, and I'll say the fact that the Scottish football is getting better and the Premier League is getting better, and that's what we need.
Yeah,
that's my point. I'm sorry.
Yeah, listen, I suppose in many ways, Mark, that shows, you know, what it does mean to be involved in Europe. It gives you a whole other aspect to your season that you can focus on. Imagine Rangers weren't in Europe. This is a nonsense hypothetical, by the way, and they were sitting fifth in the league at this point. Do you think we would be getting this feel good factor? Of course not. But it gives you another competition to go and thrive in, to go and test yourself in, to give the fans something to buy into. And that's exactly what Europe has been for Rangers this season.
Well, it has, because, you know, I think very early on it gave Steven Gerrard a marker, because let's be honest, we didn't know what to expect from Steven Gerrard, the manager. And what he did very early on with eight high pressure games back to back, week after week, over the space of 8 weeks, is he showed that he's got some.
With a new squad as well, yeah.
He showed that he, in my opinion, that he absolutely deserves to be the manager of Rangers. Even though he's inexperienced, he deserves a gig. Now, you're right, had Rangers not gotten to Europe, not took the qualifiers, and you look at a couple of the results, like losing away to Livingston and things like that, people might say, ooh, there might have been one or two question marks. But very early on, he bought himself time, gave himself credibility as a manager, and now he's got the chance to build on that, which he has done. Villarreal away from home, Rapid Wien at home. As I say, they win tomorrow night. That means Rangers, in my opinion, are just one victory away. Three chances will have, 10 points will get them through, I would imagine. So you're just one victory away. But that said, tomorrow night, even though Spartak have changed their manager, a tough, tough game playing against Spartak Moscow. But as I said 5-10 minutes ago, the Rangers' support have been absolutely inspirational to the team at home games this season, and they'll play another big part tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, again, Steven Gerrard has had, you know, a lot of work to do. There's no doubt about that. But Richard has said, you know, that there are shoots of recovery, and you know that you can, they're evident. You know, the fans are buying into it. You know, the atmosphere has changed dramatically. Their home results is great. They still have to improve. And by his own admission at the weekend, he said his team were very average, but they managed to still win 4-1, albeit late goals. But they have to improve in that aspect of the play, particularly away from home, I think, and he knows that. But listen, you know, you can't fix everything straight away. European football is an absolute terrific bonus for Rangers, and they want it to continue. And again, if they can get to the knockout stages, that is an outstanding achievement in your first season as a manager, particularly when he pretty much revamped the whole squad.
Beat the Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Hot off the microphone. I don't think that's such a phrase, is it? Hot off the microphone in Germany. Brendan Rodgers' press conference is finished, and we'll bring you that as soon as we get done with Beat the Pundit. 01419511025. That's the number you need if you fancy taking on Mark or Jim tonight. You need to do it quick. You only have until the news at 7 o'clock if you do fancy tonight's Beat the Pundit. 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
You know there are problems on the road when Amber does overtime, so please take care out there, be patient, and drive safely if you can. It's 01419511025 to get in touch on the phones. We're going to cross over to Germany very soon and hear from Brendan Rodgers. Some big injury problems for Celtic this week. We're going to hear from him after this.
The Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is time for Beat the Pundit. Mark Guidi or Jim Duffy will be up against Callum Graham, who's a Motherwell fan from Bells Hill. Evening, Callum.
Hello, how are we?
Not too bad, how are you?
Good, thanks.
You fancy your chances tonight?
We'll see.
What's happening with your team at the moment, Callum? You're going to have to do a bit better than they are at the moment, is that fair?
Yeah, they're really struggling.
Really struggling. You can hear the downbeat tone in his voice. Right, let's see if we can cheer you up with a victory on Beat the Pundit. Heads, it's Mark Guidi. Tails, it will be Jim Duffy. And it is heads. So Mark Guidi up against Callum from Bells Hill. Let me give Callum some, and I'll give Mark, sorry, some Clyde 2, so that he doesn't know what we're up to. And we'll get the clock up and running. Callum, you've got 30 seconds head to head. You can pass. Here's your chance to beat the pundit. You ready? Name any one of the two players to extend their Hibs contracts until 2023 today.
Stephen Mallon.
Former Dundee United player Craig Conway currently plays for which English team?
Blackburn Rovers.
Who scored for Hearts 21 seconds into the second half last night? The famous five was a notable forward line for which Scottish club?
Dundee United.
Who did Aberdeen beat in the 1983 European Super Cup?
Pass.
Okay, some tough ones in there, Callum, I must say. Let's bring Mark Guidi back. Mark, are you with us?
Yeah.
Right, same set of questions to you. Let's go. Name any one of the two players to extend their contracts with Hibs until 2023.
Young Murray.
Former Dundee United player Craig Conway is currently playing for which English
Blackburn
team?
Blackburn
Rovers. Who scored for Hearts 21 seconds into the second half last night?
Stephen Naismith.
The famous five was a notable forward line for which
Hibs.
Scottish club? Who did Aberdeen beat in the 1983 European Super Cup?
Bayern Munich.
Now, what is the name of RB Leipzig's stadium?
Red Bull Arena.
And where did Steven Gerrard finish his playing career quickly?
At LA Galaxy.
Okay. How do you think that went, Callum?
I think he's beat me quite comfortably.
I think he's done you. Let's have a look. Name one of the two players to extend their contracts with Hibs until 2023. You had the choice of Ryan Porteous or Fraser Murray. Yeah, I mean, probably you said Murray, didn't you?
Yeah, young Murray. I knew he was one of the young boys. Right.
Former Dundee United player Craig Conway is currently playing for Blackburn. You both got that right. So Callum does get a score on the board. Who scored for Hearts 21 seconds into the second half last night?
Stephen McLean.
It was Stephen McLean. Nah. It was the other one. You both went for Naismith. So still 2-1 to Mark Guidi. The famous five was a notable forward line for which Scottish club? It is Hibs. So Mark Guidi goes into a 3-1 lead. Who did Aberdeen beat in the 1983 European Super Cup?
Porto.
Hamburg. So still 3-1 to Mark Guidi. It went 4-1 RB Leipzig Stadium. Just Red Bull everywhere, isn't it? Across, you know, so it was a fairly easy one to get. And where did Steven Gerrard finish his playing career? Callum, you didn't get to this question. Mark was a little bit quicker, and it is LA Galaxy. So 5 to Mark and 1 to you, Callum. Hard lines.
Thank you. I was just as bad as Mother.
Lucky, Callum.
Very true indeed. Thanks to Callum,
cheers, Callum
from Bells Hill. You'll have your chance to play Beat the Pundit on tomorrow night's show at 7 o'clock. Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers, shall we? He's obviously got some injury concerns ahead of that game. That's a bit of an understatement perhaps. Scott Brown, Lee Griffiths, Tom Rogic did not travel, and Filip Benkovic is a doubt. James Forrest is suspended. So let's get the thoughts then of Brendan Rodgers. He's just been speaking to the press in Leipzig in the last hour or so.
Yes, we have a few injuries. Scott will probably, maybe over the next 2 to 3 weeks, will probably be out. So, which of course is disappointing, but yeah, he's just a low grade calf strain. So so we'll just have to see how that goes over the course of the next couple of weeks. Yeah, and we've got a few other players, like so obviously Lee hasn't returned to training yet, so he's still out. Tom Rogic hasn't travelled as well. He's got Tom sort of an issue with his knee, so we'll have a look at that when we get back. Yeah, well, I'm managing Filip Benkovic, so we'll see how Filip is over the next 24 hours. So so yeah, we get one or two issues, but it's okay. We've got a number of young players and other players that are. May have the opportunity over these next few games that have been training very hard and working very well to have an opportunity to play. So so that's, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing them.
The thoughts there of Brendan Rodgers has just been speaking in Leipzig ahead of that game in Europe tomorrow. Ronnie Charters is over in Germany with Celtic for us. Ronnie, did that team news, the absentees from the flight, did that come as a bit of a surprise to everyone?
Yes, it did. You joined me in the Red Bull Arena press room where Brendan Rodgers just left. And as the Celtic contingency came into the room, there was murmurings that Tom Rogic didn't make the flight. There was murmurings that obviously we sort of knew at that point, Scott Brown and Lee Griffiths didn't. But yeah, big shocks. And you could, Brendan Rodgers, when he had to, you know, say those words, you could tell that was a huge blow. And even some of the German colleagues as well, when they were looking at and seeing that Tom Rogic, who played so well against Hibs and who was showing one or two of his goals against Rangers, there's one of the German journalists next to me, was looking at his goals that Tom Rogic was scoring, then to be told he wasn't going to play. So no doubt a big loss to Brendan Rodgers and to Celtic for this game tomorrow night.
So Celtic fans, though, still are going over there in their numbers, Ronnie. Some will be there already, some will be making their way. What can they expect then? What have you seen so far from the stadium and the surroundings?
They can expect rain. God, it's not stopped raining since we've got here, sadly, so I don't need the suntan lotion this time for this trip, but it's a fantastic city, it really is, really, really friendly, and they can expect a world-class venue tomorrow night, the RB Arena, 43,000 stadium. We tweeted a video of it at Clyde SSB on Twitter, a fantastic arena, a fantastic setup as well. From the club, we actually went to their training centre, the Red Bull Academy, earlier on this afternoon, which again was just a stunning training facility. 11 pitches, they had safe standing zones for their training games. It was just a great, it just shows you how much money the company of Red Bull has actually pumped into this team to get them where they are. And as well as that, Gordon, I know that the press guys will enjoy this one. We're expected heated seating in the press area tomorrow night.
Oh, Mark Greedy, hold on a minute. Spared. This is it, what's this?
Do you know the tartan blankets over there, Ronnie? No.
No, not at all. Not for this one. It is a wee bit chilly though, so all Celtic fans, if you are coming over, do not expect anyone over at 10 degrees. It's going to be chilly.
That suits you, to be fair, Ronnie, after your sunburn escapades and previous trips. We won't go there again. I'm just wondering, Mark Guidi, if anyone had to go to Dens Park last night to that that press box with this restricted view, and then a couple of days later they'll have a heated seat to watch the game.
Well, no, I don't think they'd then, unless I'm there quite a bit. I'm up there in a couple of weeks' time. as well, and I've had words with the Dundee, but I don't think the Dundee press box has been cleaned since Duff was a player there, never mind a manager there. A horrible press box. But yeah, enjoy that tomorrow night, Ronnie. You don't often get that, and I'm sure you'll get some nice grub as well.
Ronnie, on a serious footballing note, because let's be honest, nobody cares how you and your colleagues are getting looked after. What's the feeling amongst the locals then? As you say, a lot of money's been spent on that club. They have some decent players. They obviously have some injury problems of their own, though. What's the sort of local feeling as to who's the favourites, I guess?
Yeah, it's been their manager as well, Rolf, said that it was the exact same thing. There's confidence. They're fifth in the Bundesliga. RB Leipzig at the moment, they've played 8, won 4, drawn 3 and only lost 1. So there is confidence here. Bruma, if you remember, the Portuguese midfielder, he's fit to play and should play tomorrow. He scored against Scotland at Hampden last month. They are a talented bunch, no two ways about it. They have spent millions assembling this squad. And coming here, Celtic will know we know Celtic's away record is not great at all. They're going to have to turn that round very, very quickly. Brendan Rodgers mentioned that in his presser, actually. You know, he was speaking about the mistakes in Leipzig that cost them. They're at a level now where these mistakes, they cannot afford to make them. They have to be so secure at the back and take their chances at front. And he was saying that as well as praising the Leipzig team ahead of the game tomorrow night.
Well, yeah, naturally, obviously, over the couple of games, it's important to get results. I think for me, I want us to, after the last time when we were in Salzburg, okay, we lost the game, but the level of performance, I want to have seen a better performance, really. So I think it's key coming into these games that ultimately we think about performing well, because when we do that and we play to our level and the quality that we have and the players can play with that confidence, then it gives us a much greater chance to get the result. You know, I don't like saying as like we were in the last game where we ended up, you know, with a flat back line of 5 and we're waiting on the game. So that's not what and how we work, and it's not when we're at our best. So for me, it's really about going and performing and taking that confidence to go and play and not be frightened to make the mistakes. Playing against a very good team, you know, one of the top teams here in Germany. But we still have to come and show our way and our method of play, and when we can do that, we know we have players that can cause problems. So that is what's important for us, to perform well, and then look at getting then the result from that.
Ronnie, before we let you go, it's obviously a very important fact-finding mission that you go on. Have you established all the important things to pass on to the Celtic fans, like the price of a pint and so on?
€1.80 if you're lucky in the bars just around the corner from the stadium. I don't think you really need to know anything about that. Lovely meals, decent enough weather, lovely locals, fantastic scenery. What more could you want for a Thursday night in Leipzig?
€1.80. What's the exchange rate at the moment? It's pretty close, isn't it?
£1.80. Pretty much one for one, yeah. That's a decent price. For that.
Yep. Please do drink responsibly, by the way, if you're heading over. Thanks to Ronnie in Leipzig. We'll check in with him tomorrow and see what's happening during the game itself. We just brought you the thoughts there of Brendan Rodgers. So react to them. Let us know what you thought. 01419511025. I remember we are asking all throughout the night for your best or worst, call it what you will, worst ever penalty misses. This is on the back of Calvin Miller last night. Josh Windass fired one over the bar for Wigan as well. So keep your thoughts coming on Twitter, your worst ever penalty misses. Back to the phones though, Gary's in Shettleston. What's on your mind tonight, Gary?
Hiya, boys.
Hello.
Hi, Gary.
I'd just like to say, I heard the lads saying about one of the calls, Miller stole my thunder. Celtic fans know what's happening. We've got a bad group. We knew we weren't going to do much in it, probably for the start. So we did with the teams we got. Because looking at the stage that we're at now, we just want to go out of there and concentrate in the league. Because we're not interested in Europa League.
Well, what does that say about where Celtic are at then, Gary? Because a lot of fans, to be fair, phoned up in the last couple of seasons, looked at the Champions League and said, right, this might be a stretch too far. We're on the receiving end of some sore ones. But you're now sort of saying that also applies for the Europa League. So where are Celtic then in the big picture?
A couple of teams in our group who should probably be in the Champions League. So they're
Yeah, no, but they're not, and they've presumably got that's
money in us for a start.
Yeah, but Celtic have got more money and a bigger budget than anybody else in the Premier League. But other clubs, for example, Hearts, Aberdeen, Hibs, Rangers are all making a fist of it. I can agree with you a bit in terms of, I think that the league, you know, look, it depends on what the ambition of Brendan Rodgers is, or the Celtic board, or the Celtic players, or Celtic supporters like yourself, Gary. What is the be all and end all the next couple of years? Is it 1 in 10 in a row, or is it making progress in Europe to become a last 16 or a last 8 team in the Europa League, or a last 16 team in the Champions League over the next 2 years? What is it? Do you want it all? I don't think all is achievable,
time,
realistic.
This question better than me. A few years' time, Celtic or Rangers are not even going to make it into Europe, because the coefficient is just going to get down and down and down.
As long as there's still a Champions route, as long as there's still a Champions route into the Champions League. But I think, yeah, I can see the landscape of European club football changing over the next 4 or 5 years for sure. But whether that is beneficial, whether the Champions League will still be the Champions League as we know it, I don't know. But I think, yeah, I can see changes in the next 4 or 5 years.
And listen, you've always got to sympathise on the financial side, certainly when it came to the Barcelonas and the PSGs, Jim. But I remember reading some figures, and forgive me, I can't remember them off the top of my head, but someone will. Salzburg, for instance, their entire midfield was assembled at a pretty small amount in comparison to
I must admit, I don't feel sympathy when Celtic play Barcelona, because in Scottish football, and if you've been involved in the clubs I've been with, you've had to play Celtic and Rangers when it was back in the 80s and all that stuff, you know, light years away from that, but you still have to compete, you know, and your own fans expect you to compete. And, you know, for Celtic to get into this group, I don't think this group is unsurmountable. Yeah, okay, I mean, Leipzig, as Ronnie was saying there, fantastic facilities and, you know, doing well. But, you know, they're not a million miles away. Celtic, huge support, you know, as I said to you, if they play at their very best, you know, particularly Celtic Park, then I think Celtic should be looking to get out of this group. And there's two qualifiers, is that right, from this group? So,
yeah.
So I don't see any, you know, fear factor there. I mean, Manchester United are complaining. I mean, Mourinho's complaining, as he always does anyway, but he's complaining that they don't have enough money to compete, which is ridiculous. So how much money do you need before you can become a competitor? So no, I'm sorry, I'm not going on the money side of it. I think it's about improving, it's about moving to the next level. And over the last couple of years, as I mentioned earlier on, Celtic have been comfortable, and therefore the European football, I think, has been looked if it was more of a challenge. This year there is a challenge domestically, so I think the fans are now thinking, oh wait a minute, we just want to make sure we don't lose focus. But I think a club like Celtic should be competing in the Europa League and should be able to, with the resources there, if that's the argument, then they should be winning the domestic title comfortably.
Final word to you on this, Gary.
Well, you said competing in the Europa League, it all depends on what teams you really get in it end of the day.
Well, I think the teams that are in the group, I think Celtic should be competing against, Gary. That's me. I don't see there's not a Barcelona, there's no a Real Madrid, you know, there's not a Bayern Munich or a Manchester City or anything like that. So for me, Celtic should be in this particular group. I think they should be looking to get out of it.
Right, thank you to Gary in Shettleston. Brian is a Rangers fan in Lark Hall. He thinks that by concentrating in the league, perhaps that says something about whether Celtic have improved or not this season. We'll hear from Brian and get the full-time teaser started next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy are here, and it's time for them to tackle this full-time teaser. It was sent in by John tonight. If you've got a question, please do send in. It's full-time at Clyde1.com. Just looking for your usual types of trivia questions. We always try and give them to the guys with about half an hour of the show left to go and see if they can come up with the answer. So if you've got a good one, send it over to fulltime@clyde1.com. Tonight's question from John is this. Since 1993, 12 players have scored in the English Premier League for Newcastle and also scored in Scotland. Can you name them? Since 93, 12 players have scored in the English Premier League for Newcastle and also scored in Scotland. Can you name them?
Oh, good. Peter Lovenkrantz.
Yes.
And Joey Barton.
No. Probably didn't score in Scotland, did he? Well, either way, he's not on the list. Blame John.
Okay.
Peter Lovenkrantz, of course, played for both.
Alex.
Oh. I'm interested in this because I thought this was going to be the hardest one.
No, because I played for Morton.
Oh, Alec Matthew.
Alec
Matthew, great show.
I had an emotional bet with myself, which is very important, that that was going to be the last one you got, and you've got it second. Alec Matthew.
Oh, is then Paul Dummett?
Yes, St Mirren in Newcastle. Likes the black and white stripes, clearly.
Paul Dummett, good. And there's 12.
I'll take one more guess then. That's a good start. You've got three of the 12 so far. No, actually, no.
Stuart Finlay?
No. All right, we'll get a bit of time at Clyde SSB if you want to help out on the teaser. Some really good help coming from you on last night. So let's see how you get on tonight. Brian is a Rangers fan in Lark Hall. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Gordon.
How are you doing? What's your point tonight?
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Brian.
Right, before I go into my main point, I'd just like to kind of take tasks with Jim and the way he speaks in general about Celtic players, you know, embarrassment, riches, top players, top class players, etc., etc. This might sound trivial, but there are no top class players, and there's no embarrassment to riches. They play in the top division in Scotland, not in Spain or Germany. Now, I remember a Rangers fan coming on saying that we've got a great squad. We've not got a great squad or anywhere near it. We've got a good squad. Now, as I said, it might sound trivial, but it annoys me when I hear that.
I assume, Jim, you're talking about, though, in comparison to the rest of Scotland, because that's where we are, and that's... Yeah.
No, but it's fine. I mean, Brian, you say this, it might be trivial. It is trivial, but Brian wants to say that. That's fine. It's Brian's opinion.
There we go. We can agree to disagree. What's your next point, Brian?
Right, it's... Celtic fans have been on the night saying, forget about Europe and concentrate in the league. For one thing, it's a defeatist attitude. Another thing, it shows that the progress hasn't been made that should have been made. Now, I can remember Rangers when they were going for their nine in a row. It was great to win it, don't get me wrong, but I think it held us back as a club, and I think it we didn't make changes at that period that we really should have to win the nine in a row, and it became really, it was detrimental to what my club should have been doing at that time. When Dick Advocaat came in 98, we had to tear up the whole squad and rebuild again. Now, luckily, we had money to spend at that point, that, you know, and we achieved for a couple of years after that a really high level. You know, I was speaking to a friend last week. The great thing about Europa League for Rangers this season is no just because we've not been in that arena for a few years. It's you're playing in an environment and against teams that are better than you're playing on a week-to-week basis, which will in turn make you better players and a better team. So Europe is really, really important.
Yeah. No, I think Europe is important. I said before that's the reason why I said I think it's important for clubs, particularly Scottish clubs, to try and stay in the tournament as long as you possibly can, because I think it does. It's a different game. I think that, you know, maybe the expectations are not quite the same because you're going up against teams who maybe don't have the same fear factor if they come to Ibrox, if they come to Celtic Park. So I think Rangers being in Europe, as Mark had said at the start, those eight games at the very start, I think gave an enormous amount of confidence to the job that Stephen Gerrard done to the fans. He sent a message out to the fans, listen, I know what I'm doing. You know, you can trust in me here. We will get this right in those eight games because, you know, obviously straight away you're qualifying for the group section. And, you know, and I think it's, you know, it's definitely for me, you know, I mean, we see over the years, it just depends. When we're coefficient is really poor, you know, we're screaming out for a better record than Europe. And then when we've got two teams in, you know, qualifying for the group stage for the first time in a long, long time, well, is it really that important? You know, people start to maybe put a different spin on it. But I think it is important, and I think it'd be terrific if we can get teams out of the group sections into the knockout section.
I guess on a similar theme to Brian, Mev is on Twitter, who's also a Rangers fan, says, I thought Brendan was brought in to take Celtic to another level. He's on big money, yet tonight Celtic fans are prioritising a League Cup tie over Europe. Looks like he's failed. Mark Guidi, what's what we're sort of arguing over the other team's mindset, if you like, but
Yeah, I think, you know, when Brendan Rodgers came in, first and foremost, it was to make sure that Celtic were the superior club and superior team domestically, and that's been proven over the past two years that that's without a shadow of a doubt. And Celtic needed to do that because they had the Ronnie Dial experiment, which they got out of kind of unscathed because he won two titles. But when you assess it and you really look at the big picture of it, it was bordering on shambolic. So they had to make a change, and they brought in, as I've always said, the manager should be the most important person at the football club, certainly in the football department, and should be the best paid. And that's what they did. So I wouldn't criticise him for going and attracting a guy like Brendan Rodgers. If it wasn't going to be Brendan Rodgers, it was going to be Davy Moyes. So I think you applaud the club for being that ambitious and bringing him. Now, when Brendan Rodgers arrived, one of his early statements was, I want us to become a last 16 team in the Champions League. Now, clearly that's not happened. They've been a long, long way away from that. But would I change Brendan Rodgers? Would I think the club have any regrets about Brendan Rodgers? Would they like to keep him? Is he the right man to try and take them forward? I would say yes to all those questions. I don't think there'd be any regrets about it. Although I do say, and I have said, when it comes to European football, I just think that sometimes when it comes to defensively, they're just a bit wishy-washy. And I know that Brendan Rodgers wants to always try and play the perfect football and stuff like that, but for me, sometimes, and maybe I'm a dinosaur, sometimes I'd just love to see them, when they're under the cosh, just rose-heading it every now and again, and I don't think they do that enough.
Okay, thanks to Brian in Lark Hall. Let's take a look at last night's game, shall we? Craig Levine says it was important to win against Dundee in terms of momentum ahead of Sunday's League Cup semi-final. He's also glad that they learned their lessons from Saturday of not losing a goal after taking a two-goal lead.
We started well, scored early. Dundee are in a difficult place just now, and I think the early goal for us was really important. Obviously put them on the back foot. Second goal puts us in a position where I'd hope that we'd never lose from. And then on Saturday we were 2-0 up against Aberdeen at half time and then lost the third goal. And the important message was at half time, if we get the third goal, your evening becomes a little bit easier. Yeah, I'd much rather go into the game having won tonight than drawing or losing. But it does enable us to have, played two matches in a short space of time just before the semi-final, won them both, and I think the players that they have to take confidence from the fact that they're in really good form just now. When it got rescheduled, I thought, it's in the week of the semi, but to be fair, Celtic have got a game on Thursday, so I'm not going to complain about it, especially now that we've won.
And now what about the other end of the table then? Jim McIntyre, what a tough job it looks like he's got in his hands. First two games, a 4-0 defeat at Livingston and then a 3-0 defeat at home to Hearts. He says they didn't help themselves but is confident they can turn things around.
You know, we need to give ourselves a hand. They showed plenty of character, the players, at 2-0 down. When the way it's been going recently, it'd be easy to feel sorry for yourselves and just collapse. But whenever we had a real go at it in that first half and created some good opportunities ourselves, so that's the positives to take. But we need to eradicate self-destructing because it's a bit of that, and there might be a bit of pain before it gets better, but it will get better, that's for sure. Hearts are a good side, but you can't stand off teams. You've got to make sure you're taking the game to them as well when you have your opportunity, and I felt we've done that on a number of occasions, and drove Hearts back, and we've created opportunities. And when you get those opportunities, you've got to put them away, because then that lifts the belief, to that next level to go again. But unfortunately, we couldn't tuck away any of the opportunities. Obviously, the penalty is the biggest chance, and we've got a great chance with the header as well. We should do better with that as well. But the pleasing thing is that we didn't crumble and feel sorry for ourselves.
It's another game chalked off, where if anyone was looking for Hearts to stumble, doesn't seem to be happening. Of course, they lost to Ibrox, but in terms of recovering,
So that's 25 points out of 30. Lost to Ibrox, dropped 2 points at home to Livingston. They're there for the long haul. I don't care what anybody says. I think Hearts are going to be right in there. I think once you get to 10, 11, 12 games, particularly you get the next international break, then I think you'll see a clearer shape of how the top flight is going to look. And there's no doubt that Hearts have got momentum, they've got confidence, they can score goals and they can keep clean sheets.
Jim, put the positive case forward for Dundee. Why should people believe that Dundee can turn this around?
I find it difficult to find anything positive for Dundee. I mean, Jim McIntyre's interview sounded like Neil McCann's interview. you know, where they've played some good football and they've missed opportunities and they've given away cheap goals. And that's what Neil was saying, you know, week after week, you know, he was always saying, oh, we played well. But, you know, they need to be better. And, you know, I can't really see where they're going to get a succession of wins from. You know, they need maybe three wins on the bounce just to give themselves a chance of getting away from you know, the problems that they've got. And it's hard to see where that's going to come from. And from Jim McIntyre's point of view, it's also difficult for him because he can't do it until January. And by January, they could be you know detached. So, you know, it's a difficult time for Dundee and a difficult time for Jim McIntyre. But he's taking the job with the belief that he can turn it around. So the only positive I can think is the manager has went in there with real enthusiasm and determination, and the players have got to try and take some of that on board, because at this moment in time, they're giving games away comfortably or easily for the opponents. The first thing he has to do is try and make it difficult.
They need to find a goalkeeper. I'll stop with
Keep
Ross County.
Changing, yeah.
But there's no one there. And then you look at Ross County last season, it was the same situation. That's why they were relegated. You look at Hamilton sometimes, and you look at Dundee, and if you're going to have a chance of staying up, you must find a goalkeeper. And that's one thing that Jim McIntyre will need to address.
Here's a big goal in Europe. Hamilton Accies, under 18s UEFA Youth League, they've gone one up at home to Bale, so 3-2 up on aggregate. Young Andrew Winter with the goal. What an achievement that would be.
Yeah, brilliant.
With George Cairns on the show last night, so we wish the boys well. Hopefully they kick on from there. Any more, just quickly on the teaser, 12 players since 93 who've scored in the English Premier League for Newcastle and also scored in Scotland.
Two defenders, I'm thinking of Craig Moore.
Yeah. Nope.
Johnny Lambumsong?
No. In Gaza, was pre-93, wasn't
Yeah, not Gaza, no.
No. Was it one of the boys from Killy on loan with Lee Clark? No. None of them?
Nope. There is one sort of obvious one, so to speak, one or two before you start delving into some tricky ones.
Alan Thompson?
No, I think high profile striker. Not only has he played up here and scored, but he was a high profile striker across the English Premier League.
Well, was it Stefan Guivac?
Well, he's one, but it's not the one I was thinking of.
All right, okay.
A loan signing up here. I mean, he's played for numerous English Premier League clubs.
Did he play for Celtic?
Mm-hmm.
I'll get it in a minute.
Oh, wasn't he Robbie Keane? No, he didn't play for... I've got it. Craig Bellamy.
Right, okay. We're doing quite well. We'll get the rest as the show progresses. Hopefully... who's been hanging on the longest? Let's be fair. Frank is in Springburn. Hi, Frank.
How you doing, guys?
Hi, Frank. What's on your mind?
Could I just say, Mark and Jim, these are my two favourite pundits on the show.
Frank must be wanting something tonight.
Frank, yep. That's awful kind.
I think he's an absolutely barbarous. Absolutely barbarous.
Oh, I love you as well, Frank.
I've got two very quick points to make. One's about... I noticed a thing in the Daily Record, the back page today, it says... Red Alert, it says, talking about notorious supporters. But just to see that the Spartak Moscow fans have been warned. Anyway, the other point about the guy Brian that was just been on, Celtic. He says that have we improved? Well, we haven't improved, because Brendan have already said we haven't improved, because he says we've stood still. And that's due to one man's antics in the summer. We haven't improved. Hopefully we'll improve next season.
Whose antics in the summer?
Peter Lowell. That's the reason why we've not improved. Because he has inability to bring in players.
What do you make of that, Mark Weedy?
John McGinn.
Well, certainly I'm on record of saying that, you know, the John McGinn deal for me should have been done. It was, you know, in terms of deals, when you look at all the boxes to tick, and, you know, he's a Celtic supporter, the fee was in the region of £3 million. His wages wouldn't have been a problem. That was a missed opportunity, I think, one that Celtic should regret and will regret. In terms of, can you blame Peter Lowell for no progressing? No. I mean, you look at the wage bill at the club, it's absolutely massive. It actually needs to come down. Did Brendan Rodgers want a right back in? Yes, he did. Was it Puccini at the Sporting Lisbon, ended up going to Valencia for £7 or £8 million. So yeah, there's a tad, but I don't think you can just solely blame Peter Lowell. I think that would be unfair. I think you've got to look at things Collectively,
it looks like a jinxed Hamilton Accies. They've just conceded. Basel have scored. It's 1-1, so 3-1 in aggregate. Accies with the 2 away goals. Quickly on the teaser, any more? We're running a bit late, I must say.
No,
okay, I'll give you some thinking time. We'll get the answers to the teaser next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi are into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and my word, they have got work to do on this teaser. If you've got a good question, maybe it's a similar one, maybe something completely different, try us. Even if you don't think it's of any use, why not try and find out? Fulltime at ClydeOne.com. Tonight's question: since 93, 12 players have scored in the English Premier League for Newcastle and have also scored in Scotland. Guys like Craig Bellamy, Paul Dummett, Stefan Givarsh, Peter Lovenkrantz, Alec Mathey. What did you come up with at the break?
Mark Viduka.
Yes.
And Kitzbeyer.
Yes.
Tamuri Kitzbeyer.
Did you miss him at Dundee? Did you mind?
Yeah, no, he left just before I went there, but I know he's got, you know, the Dundee fans hold him in real high regard.
Did you have liked the chance to work with that?
Oh, yeah.
Bit of a character as well.
Yeah, a bit of a character. And, you know, as I say, the real team, you know, kind of got a bit between them. And well, he went to Cyprus and managed, didn't he? Because I think he applied.
And the Georgia national team as well,
yeah,
didn't he?
I think he applied. Yeah,
we played against him, didn't we?
Yeah.
For the job, I think the knee job there, I'm sure that they were saying that.
He did.
Remember the one,
names the list.
Someone will know more details on this when he scores and he's got the shirt off and he's booting the advertising board and he's going nuts and his teammates are trying to celebrate with him. Yeah. He's having none of it. Like that. That's, I like his style.
Big Dunk Ferguson.
Yes.
What about Big Dunk?
Duncan Ferguson.
A
couple of years at Newcastle towards the tail end of the last
century. I know he played, but I know he's not a goal scorer, but I can't remember his first name. Was it Bernard, the fullback?
He's not one. Oh, Olivier.
Olivier Bernard.
He's not one. A lot of people are saying that on Twitter. He's not one. So you've got one, two, three.
Is it Rangers he went to Olivier Bernard, isn't it?
You've got four to get, one of which is still playing in our top flight. But it's still tough, let me tell you.
Not tough.
Alistair is a Rangers fan in Corker Hill. Hi, Alistair.
Ah, good evening, Gordon, Mark, and Jim. And congratulations to Jim for getting the gig at Dumbarton. I hope you do well down there, Jim.
Thanks, Alistair. Thanks.
Right, no bother. Gordon, they make a couple of nominations for the worst penalties. Then I'll go into the point about the Rangers tomorrow, if you don't mind, please.
Go for it.
Right, Bobby Murdoch against Rangers at Ibrox New Year's Day. Nearly hit the roof of the stand. And, but if it wasn't for that roof just getting bullied that time, the Bobby would have ended up in the garage behind the goal. With John Gregg, Rangers Aberdeen 68-69, I think it went between the penalty box and the goal. It never went near the goal, blasted right wide. And the worst one I've ever seen was a TV pundit, Lee Dixon, for Arsenal against Leeds United in a cup replay, a game I was at Highbury. He nearly blew my head off the North Bank that night, which was as much how bad it was. But moving on to tomorrow night,
Alistair,
I think
like
the Rangers will do it again, irrespective of the Russian team losing their manager. I think there's a bit of momentum going at Ibrox. As I said the other week, the away record, apart from it was a scaring Sunday, by the way, but hopefully that'll be sorted now. But tomorrow night, I can't see by them.
Go along with that.
I think, like I've said, the Rangers have got a good home record. There's momentum there. The fans, the players seem to buzz off the buzz that they get for the fans inside the, you know, a full house. Gordon, I think Rangers probably do have enough to win it, but I'm, you need to pardon my English. I don't know enough about Spartak Moscow to actually say, yeah, for sure, or this is well a week. So it's up to the Rangers who have done their homework. They'll have identified areas that they can get at Spartak Moscow. But as much as I fancy Rangers, I'm not taking it as a gimme, because Spartak Moscow, big club, they'll have an experienced squad. And, you know, they're more than capable of them coming in and winning the game, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, the Russian teams, you know, usually they're very good at home. Traditionally good at home and not very good travellers. That's been, if you look at the record for a lot of them over the years. So I don't expect them to, you know, to be great at Ibrox. But I'm not sure. Do they have an artificial surface? Moscow, I know they changed a lot of their pitches. They did have them in, they changed them back to grass. But certainly at Ibrox, I expect Rangers, if they have a similar performance that they showed against Rapid, to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, if you think, looking back, Mark, because what you do when you get to the group is you compare results against the other teams in the group. Rapid Vienna have already beaten Spartak Moscow 2-0, and Rangers beat Rapid Vienna. Yeah. Obviously, it's not that simple. No. But if you're just looking for signs, and it was a 3-3 last time, wasn't it, at home to Villarreal? So probably what everyone thought beatable, but clearly not a walk in the park, obviously.
No, no, of course not. You know, they'll be there. Another thing as well, you don't know, they change a manager. Maybe they were restricted under the previous manager. Maybe they didn't like him. You don't like players can be. And maybe the new fellow that's got in, he'll give them a buzz, give them a love, maybe give them a bit of freedom. Maybe he'll change one or two of the personnel to make them a better team. So, look, we don't know. But at home, currently, Rangers, I wouldn't bet against them. That's not to say I think it's a gimme.
You want to come back in, Alistair?
I partly agree with Mark Gordon because it's unknown territory, but Ibrox, I do think most things are possible. But having said that, with the new manager coming in, they could be fired up as well. But say 2-1 for the Rangers, and if I'm wrong, well, I'm there to be shot down.
That's fine, I don't mind that. A man who comes on puts his prediction out there for everyone to either agree with or laugh at. It's what Hugh Keevan's made. He's made a living out of it, let's be honest, Alistair. So it's good enough for sure.
It took you about 60 years to start getting a few right in.
You should see how excited he is about getting them right, by the way. He's delighted with himself.
Yeah, well, listen, practice makes perfect.
Bounces in here every week now. He's a bit of paper writing down his acca. He's
be shot and tie.
Yeah, always standards. Good standards.
Yeah.
Right, what about this on Twitter? Brian says, he's talking about missed penalties. He says, littered with left footers, he says. Shouldn't be allowed, he says. Pearson Waddle for England. Calvin Miller the other night as well. As a Celtic supporter, we've had loads. A few recently, but the worst for me was Anton Rogan.
Scottish Cup final 1990.
Yeah. So Brian's got it figured out. He says if you're left footed, don't take them.
Well, I think don't get me wrong, Lionel Messi has got a terrible record of taking penalties. I think he's missed about, you know, one in every two almost, but he still gets given them. But listen, you go to the other side, you've got the great late David Cooper, who was amazing and scored a phenomenal pressure penalty for Scotland to take us to the World Cup. So I wouldn't quite say it's a left footers.
What is it about the lefties that get this reputation? They always, you know, the lefties tend to be really cultured on the left side and
a
not
cultured left foot. You don't get a cultured right foot.
Why is that?
No, that's right.
And they always say that, you know, left footed players are much worse on their right foot than right footed players are on their left.
Mark, has anybody ever called you a cultured left foot?
No.
Mark's left footed.
No. All left.
It's a bit like golfers and tennis players. You know, I don't know what it is, but you know, because it's not as common. But you see Phil Mickelson and all these kind of guys are left foot. They just look, I don't know, a little bit more graceful or something about them.
Stuart's in Bayliston. Stuart, accept my apologies before we go. This is going to have to be quick. Fire away.
Okay, right. Just with the Celtic players that are tied tomorrow, where's the replacements? I heard Brendan Rodgers saying young players. Where was the replacements built up? I mean, I heard the Spondon Celtic fans saying, we never spent any money, it's done to Peter Lovell. And one of the commentators said about Brendan Rodgers, we'll get into the last 16. That happened to Neil Lennon.
No, I think he said that was the aim, Stuart, not that he would get in.
No, but Neil Lennon did, and nothing
Neil
happened.
Neil Lennon did, yeah.
And then nothing happened. I just think they want to just concentrate in the league, take the Champions League money, and no spend it. And I feel sorry for Celtic supporters, you'd be more quality. And another one, Hugh Keevan says, come a January transfer window, Celtic will spend, they've got money. They had money in the summer and never bought anybody. But okay, right, Eduardo and all that. But I think there'll be more people leaving Celtic in the January transfer window than will come in. And Brendan Rodgers could be included. There's a lot of people, he's been touted in the papers, has gone here and gone there. And I think it'll be down to Brendan Rodgers in the boardroom. That's
maybe quite. I think it's difficult, Stuart, because obviously everyone's referred back to the summer when Celtic didn't spend any money. But if Celtic had bought three players at $3 million each, I think everyone would go, oh, that was great. That was a fair amount of money spent. They spent nine in one. And therefore, people think, oh, yeah. Obviously they bought Benkovic in later on and Malumbu and
Morgan was already
signed and stuff like that. So they did bring players in, they did spend it in Scottish football, a right good, decent sum of money. But I agree. I think it wasn't maybe the spread out with the quality that I think Celtic fans expected and deserve. So I don't think there's any doubt about that. But listen, what's done is done, and they have to concentrate on tomorrow night's game against Leipzig, which will be extremely tough.
Thank you to Stuart and Bayliston. Work to be done in the teaser. Since 93, 12 players have scored in the English Premier League for Newcastle and also scored in Scotland: Craig Bellamy, Paul Dummett, Duncan Ferguson, Stefan Givarsh, Tamouri Kitzbaya, Peter Lovenkrantz, Alex Mathey, Mark Viduka. Four to get.
By the way, I think we've done really well.
I think you've done well. I agree.
I do, but this is nab.
Shameless four still to go.
The brick walls come up front of me.
Right, so the one who's still in our top flight, let's start with him, shall we?
Right.
He's at Motherwell.
Top flight, Motherwell. I'm trying to think.
He was one of the Newcastle five.
Oh, Bigirimana.
Bigirimana.
Bigirimana. Gil Bigirimana.
Scored once for Newcastle.
No chance of getting that one.
Scottish player. Very, very, very famous Scottish footballing dad.
Okay, Paul Dalglish.
Paul Dalglish.
Paul Dalglish, great shout. Paul Dalglish.
I can't remember Paul. He came to Livingston, didn't he? Paul
And Hibs, yep.
And Kelly. Yep.
Right, this guy, I think this, I hope I'm right, I'm sure this is one of the guys who's played for Newcastle and Sunderland. And when he came up here, it was actually to the lower leagues, and it was a bit of a, it was a bit of a big name to be playing in our lower leagues.
Well, Stephen Dobie?
No, similar in many ways. Alloa was the club he played for.
Oh, Michael Chopra.
Michael Chopra,
good shout.
And I'll read you just the clubs for this guy to see if you can get him. Aberdeen, Newcastle, Hibs, Dunfermline.
Stephen Glass.
Well done. That's you got the 12 with some clues. Thank you to Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Big thank you as always to you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tweeting. Thanks for the calls. We will be back to do it all over again tomorrow at 6 in the company of Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale. It's a big night tomorrow as well, of course. Leipzig against Celtic, Rangers against Spartak Moscow as well. So lots to get through on tomorrow night's show. As for the meantime, stay right where you are. Callum Gallagher's up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.